And we are back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, Michael. Long the podcast time. Is back.
It's been a long, long
time.
We
need to stop these breaks.
It's all you, man. It's all you.
Oh, yeah. It's always you. It's your busy schedule. You're too busy playing golf.
No, I'm busy working.
Aye, very good. Welcome back, guys. Delighted to be back. We had to do one today. Yeah, we had to do a podcast today after the events over the weekend.
So good.
Canadian Open, first Canadian champion in 69 years, Nick Taylor. That was unbelievable scenes.
Yeah. To be fair, that Pat Fletcher, not Canadian. He's born in England.
Uh-huh.
And then lived in Vancouver. Technically, the last Canadian was like 1914, 1915. But whatever, we'll go with the PGA Tour news.
Was he a member of Toronto Golf?
No, but I was hosted, I think I hosted at Lakeview.
Was it really?
Across the street.
Across the street.
Yeah.
The poor neighbours.
Yeah.
Across the street.
That's right.
Amazing tournament. I would say, obviously, it's an event we look forward to every single year. Every time the PGA Tour stops by your doorstep, it's good times. The start of the week was well and truly overshadowed with LIV news, PGA Tour news, PIF news. But as the week went on, it became about the golf, which I was really pleased to see yesterday. And even as Rory was kind of climbing the leaderboard, and you know, there was some cool stories and amongst, obviously, Nick Taylor 63 on Saturday was amazing to see. There was lots of good golf being played. It became about the golf again, which was cool.
Totally. Yeah, I think I tweeted out last night, it's a nice middle finger to the week just for that. Unfortunately, last year, LIV news was during the Canadian Open.
I know.
And this year, PIF and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does suck. It does drown it out a bit. And the Canadian Open has struggled way back in the day to be an actual event, even though it's the longest running, one of the longest running Opens, events. So, it was a nice cherry on the top for, you know, we have friends in media and our friend Mark Zucchino. I think that's the best call in sports. He went ballistic. I texted him last night. I said, that was amazing.
Yeah.
And as SiriusXM owes him a big bonus because it was nuts.
No, I think it was authentic, and it was like these moments are born from emotion. A lot of emotion kind of poured out yesterday. Like, you don't see scenes like what there was next to the 18th green, where it was like Justin Rose, Tyrrell Hatton. There was a bunch of guys out there supporting Tommy.
Yeah.
And then there was obviously Mike Weir, Hadwin, talk about that in a second. Corey Connors, Matt Hughes, like all those lads. It was like, this was like a major.
And if you see that video when they all jump up and cheer, our good friend Jordan Klein is right next to Hadwin, who is one of the guys that brought the Canadian Open to Oakdale. But
that is cool.
Yeah, I tried to text him a photo last night, but my fingers weren't working last night.
Yeah, so. Not much was working for me last night.
No, I know. But yeah, it's cool. It was really cool.
It really was. Great moment. And I would say the playoff was running the risk of borderline becoming a bit boring.
Yeah, it was boring. When they went to nine, I was like, you can't win on a par three.
No.
And then they both hit it kind of a bit not great.
Yeah, needed a couple.
And that 18th hole is not like it's bad. It's just a typical uphill.
I kind of like that, to be honest. Yeah. Like, you know, take driver out the hands and then make it about a 240, 250 yard shot. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, no, it was good. I thought Oakdale looked great. I mean, you were there Friday. I was there Saturday. Yeah. We were there Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
It looked in good shape. It's a different golf course than what we would play it today. I think the composite course is closed after this week. So, yeah, interesting.
It was neat. Big shout out to Golf Canada. I said in a podcast I done earlier today, it was when I first moved here in 2011, I kind of heard about Golf Canada trying to create this framework to create a conveyor belt of Canadian golfers coming through. Obviously, there was Mike Weir, there was Stephen Ames over the years, but more like at different times, golfers really on their own merits doing well and having success. Never really a foundation or framework that kind of led to that. They have that now.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at, you know, four winners this year.
I know, it's impressive.
Four Canadian winners. Corey Connors, unbelievable golfer now. Yeah, he literally genuinely feels like he's one of the top 20 players in the world now. He's just ball-striking machine.
Out of all the Canadians, no offense to the Canadians, he would be my major pick. I mean, he's a ball striker.
I mean, how many times has he had, you know, third or kind of second, third round,
lots,
kind of like leads or right in amongst
Masters
it? Yeah. I mean, he's a ball striking machine when the courses get tough. Mackenzie Hughes, local lad,
uh-huh.
you know, winning this year. Adam Svensson got a win this year. And now, obviously, Nick Taylor, number four. Yeah. Four winners.
Impressive. Hadwin, time to step it up, pal.
I know. Well, he. I mean, how hungry is he going to be now?
My God.
You know, he's probably the... Probably the biggest name of the yeah. group, because he's, you know, Mr. 59. He's won, you know, a few times out in Tour twice. At least a couple.
It was one. Valspar, way back in the day.
I thought he won recently. Maybe. I think it was one or two. But, you know, he's doing really well under Mark Blackburn's tutelage. So it's just great to see. And I'm so excited. We know the people who are involved with junior golf. And I just hope that's kind of spurn on the junior leaders, the junior golfers mm-hmm. to kind of produce more moments like that yesterday.
I was saying last night, as a golf industry guy,
yeah.
like to me, this is like the least winning Stanley Cup, yeah. the Jays winning the World Championship, the Raps winning NBA championships. I mean, it's big for golf. It's big for golf, Ken. We'll see it. Yeah. For sure, we'll see it.
We will do.
Especially important. Junior golf. That's yeah. the biggest thing.
And it's important to capitalize on these moments because momentum in anything ebbs and flows.
Totally.
Right now there'll be momentum, yeah. right? So we've got a mid-June victory for a Canadian golfer, and we're going into major week next week, mm-hmm. Open Championship. Kids are about to leave or finish up school for the summer. Get them on golf courses.
Golf courses are going to be busy.
Get the kids out there. Yeah. Hopefully they saw that over the weekend. I know growing up as a kid, all I wanted to do was whatever sport was on TV. Right. So the first week that we were off school, I want to say Wimbledon was on. So everybody had their tennis rackets out, right? It was brilliant. Queen's tournament beforehand, then Wimbledon, then the golf clubs came out because it was open week, third week in July. So I just hope that a lot of young kids saw that yesterday, their families watching, dads, mums, whoever else, big brothers, sisters, and they want to play golf totally. Now because saw those scenes and they're like, I want to do that. I want to be the next Nick Taylor. And, you know, I just think that's the coolest thing.
Yeah. No, it was Canada's finally on top. It's nice.
Very, very cool to see.
No offense, Tommy Fleetwood. I mean, 119 starts and guy doesn't
really
have a
good point.
Win in North America. And there was a couple guys. I watched the final at the golf course yesterday. Guys cheering on
pulling for
Fleetwood.
Tommy.
And I get it. Like if there was someone else in Fleetwood, then okay, yeah, I'd be going for Fleetwood. But for Canada to finally do it is pretty damn impressive.
Me too. I definitely in my mind confirmed it over the weekend because he hit a lot of them. Tommy Fleetwood hitting a long iron might be my favorite single swing in golf.
Yeah.
When he hits a 3-iron and they hit a bunch of them, 3 or 4 iron, like that golf swing when he hits that tight draw with that long iron,
so good.
I just don't think it gets any better now. Yeah. He's got that kind of slightly abbreviated finish. I love everything about it. And I wouldn't pick another player out there to make a single goal swing than that one.
That's a good point. The playoff, it was cool to see. There were some shots that both of them hit.
Yeah.
Where you're like, okay, the pressure's really getting to like Fleetwood kind of leaves it in the rough. 28 feet, he's got to get up. I mean, the rough at Oakdale was thick. US Open thick, quality thick.
Totally.
You know, Nick Taylor hits that kind of, I mean, I think he almost topped that 3, but he just kind of like scuzzed it up the
low heel, skanky low.
I mean, I do that on a Sunday morning. He should not be doing it. He should not
Monday
be
morning.
Doing it. And a Tuesday.
And a Wednesday.
All right. Right. Rude. No, anyways, it was good to see that they are human.
It was. They are human. From an equipment perspective, I did think it was interesting that Nick Taylor seemed to have better tools than Tommy Fleetwood for the job on 18. It seemed like Fleetwood didn't quite have a club that would get him down into the right kind of area to hit a 5-iron in.
Yeah, good point.
And kind of, he seemed like, I think he's carrying a mini driver. He's obviously got a driver. Seems like he's got a bit of a gap in there. So I'm watching that with interest that, you know, a couple of times I saw Tommy and didn't have the right setup in there for that course. But we all know players of that level, they're not building their bags for week-to-week PGA Tour events. No. They're building it for major championships. Totally.
And I mean, for them, I think Oakdale played 7,200, par 72 or something like that.
Right.
So it's not crazy long for these guys.
Yeah.
Also, the manufacturers don't come up, so it's not like the guys can run to a truck and go, hey, I need
this,
that hybrid, or whatever he needed to fill that gap.
Tommy, if you need a little help next year, pal, if you're struggling at Hamilton next year and you don't have the right setup,
we'll help you.
TXG, club champion, come see us. We'll help you out.
Yeah.
US Open this coming week.
Impressive. I'm LACC. Excited. A course that hasn't been seen on TV much. I mean, Walker Cup was played there. There's a lot of guys this week who played in that Walker Cup that are playing this week that I'm going to put some money on those guys because they know the course. But a course like LACC, it's a bucket list course for me to play. It's a bucket list course for you to play.
Yeah.
For the public to see it on TV, it's going to be pretty impressive.
I didn't realize, I mean, obviously prime real estate right in the middle of LA. I didn't realize they had two courses.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's wild to me.
And it's like 20 minutes from Riv.
Uh-huh.
The Playboy Mansion is on one of the holes. It's close now.
We're in town Wednesday night.
it's cool. I mean, the history, it's old. The clubhouse looks cool. I mean, we will be there Wednesday.
We will.
To walk it and see it. Be nice to be there and play it instead.
Yeah.
Excited. My last major, cross out off the list.
Yeah, I've been to all of them. Been to Masters and Open. Yeah, I've not been to a PGA.
Really?
I've not been to a PGA or have I been to a US Open? No. I don't think I've been to a US Open or a PGA.
Yeah, this is the last one for me.
Yeah.
Well, not the last one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not dying or anything.
Please don't. it'll be cool to see it. Who's your form horses going into it?
Max.
Yeah. West Coast boy.
West Coast boy. Did well.
I like that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just... If Max I could only have one pick right now, it would be Max. And I'm a huge Scottie Scheffler fan. I think he's a bit hungry for one.
So looking at the stats the other day, his long game stats, and not just the, obviously where was the last Memorial? His long game stats on that Sunday were ridiculous, right? That one off. His long game stats for this year are insane.
Insane. But that Memorial one, I think, skewed it a bit because he hit a drive. I don't know what hole it was. He hit a drive like 365 to 370 or something like that. And he had like flip wedge in. I mean, come on. Sign me up.
I know. He's just kind of developed a strength of his long game that's distance, accuracy. Yeah. You know, he hits the driver really pretty straight.
Mm-hmm.
His club head speed has went up 3 miles an hour in the last, I think, two years. It's went up quite a lot. You know, his iron plays good. He has the most horrendous looking footwork. I just can't watch the guy swing.
Yeah, it works.
Honestly, I saw somebody do comparison when he was a college golfer. Great looking swing.
The
arm swing and the body motion looks the same. The feet just didn't do the funky things they do now.
Interesting.
I think that's force though. I think that's ground force. I think his feet start dancing about because he's producing so much more force now. Yeah. So, and we all know when we get on, you know, swing cat and pressure plates, kind of the objective is to make our feet dance a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? If we start, you know, using the ground more, that's what ends up happening. We get happy feet. So, you know, it's interesting for him to see speed go up and the footwork completely change. You know, at the moment of impact, it looks great.
Yeah.
If you, you know, crystallize it in that second, but you know, when you watch it in motion, it's like, is he going to do himself an injury? His ankle?
Patrick Reed had funny footwork too, but I mean,
he's just a funny guy.
Yeah, no offense, Patrick, man. Who cares?
I know.
Get out. But I mean, if it works, do it. It'd be cool to see him actually hit a few balls on Swing Cat. I'm sure it's been registered somewhere or something
For sure. For sure.
Probably
he
in the database or something.
Some interesting sort of motion on there. It'd be cool to see because he's very non-traditional. You mentioned Homa, right? Like footwork. Impeccable footwork. You could tie string around his ankles and like he would work within that zone and have the right kind of pressure at the right times. What do you think Max Homa's average club head speed is with a driver?
He's quick, isn't he? You'd see like...
Well, I thought he was efficient. I didn't think he was that quick, but it turns out he's quite quick.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Because his ball speed's generally like 173, 174.
It'd be in and around that for sure. What do you think?
Ooh,
average.
Man. I'm trying to think.
Putting you in a spot here.
Faster than me?
Slightly.
Faster than 90 miles an hour?
Slightly.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. 108, 110?
120. Oh. Trackman. So 123 quad. I mean, that's moving it.
That's quick. Holy moly.
So we done it in Fathers of Fitting on our podcast there earlier today that we recorded. Cassie does these three questions at the end of it. It's like, okay, someone's club head speed, someone's, you know, like other stat today was putting. Who's, I thought it was Max Homa's putting, how many putts per round does he have? And then it was how many Twitter followers does Homa have? And she, when she said 120 Trackman, I guess 117. Like, I thought he was quick.
Yeah.
But I didn't think I thought he was more efficient.
Right, yeah.
But 120 is shifting it.
Yeah, he's moving it.
That's kind of like,
and he's 178, 180.
No, he's not. And everything for him is like he says, he might hit one draw a week.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is a fade for him. So I thought it was pretty interesting.
JT must be way up there then.
No, less really? Than that. JT would be slightly less than Homa.
I'd like to swing it like Max.
I would as well. We all would, I think. I think I'd love to see Ricky this week have a good week. I think he's playing well. Top fives, you know, this year he's been a machine.
West Coast boy.
Super, super consistent. I'd love to see him have a good week. The rough looks wild. Did you see some of the things last night? People dropping balls in the rough.
Yeah.
And it's just like, how are they going? I don't know how they're going to find them. Obviously spotters, but
yeah.
It looks crazy.
It's insane. It's too much.
I think that stuff's a bit hokey.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
You're right. I mean, I showed you a photo of some rough the other day and I was like, oh, look at the rough at LACC. And you're like, holy moly, like, that's actually my home club. Yeah, it's juicy everywhere.
I don't like
that. It's too much.
I love them. That's why one of the reasons I love the Masters. Like, I want rough to get between club and ball. I don't want you losing your ball. I don't like when you can't see, you know, the ball.
I was standing on 18 on Saturday. We're trying to get to the rink just to see it. And Brian Gay is hitting up and he's in the left rough and he's making these practice swings. And when I say he's taking grass, like, he's taking turf out of it, right? And he hits his ball and you just watch it get up and it has no spin on it whatsoever. And it just kind of basically falls down. It kind of gets to the front of the green.
Yeah.
And he just shakes his head at his caddy and he's like, I'm not strong enough for this turf. And everyone kind of started to laugh. And I'm like, this, I would not get the ball out. I'd have to punch out sideways. And I'd be lucky if I got it out sideways.
When, I think it was at Oak Hill, where the PGA just was. I'm trying to think, one of the players, and they were asking him like what they thought the average 10 handicapper would shoot. It was Billy Horschel.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, what would the average 10 handicapper shoot? And he said somewhere between 130 and 150. And we're like, what? And it's like, people don't know how to play out this type of rough. There's a very specific way to hit it. You've got to be obviously very steep, you know, keep the club face open, you know, grip pressure high. People just wouldn't get the ball. They wouldn't advance it. They would just like, it'd be three shots trying to get it back into the fairway every time they'd done it.
Yeah, no thanks.
Super hard. So yeah, it's a whole different challenge altogether. So you're saying Max.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I love that. I love the Max pick, to be honest. But
it's a pretty easy pick, too. Yeah.
I think he's good for it. I'm gonna say Scheffler and have my outside money be on Ricky.
Mm.
I would say those are my two ponies.
I wonder, I know he won't be playing, but I wonder if we'll see Tiger broadcast, walking around, doing something.
No, he was on crutches.
I know, but he can crutch around the broadcast booth.
The next time you see Tiger at an event will be when he's playing at an event. I don't think he thinks about things that way anymore.
I know, but it's LA.
Are you just in this wee magical Mikey world that you've got going on in your head? You want to see a wee Tiger?
I miss Tiger.
So when he announced that he went for that surgery, that latest surgery, and they reported it was going to be a 12-week recovery, roughly. I remember looking at it at that time going, okay, well, like, when does that mean he's recovered by? Guess what week is the end of week 12?
Open week.
Open week at Hoylake. I think that's why that time he's like, okay, let's go get it done. If I recover faster, I know I can walk Hoylake. It's, you know, it's flat. It's going to be baked out, so it's not a distance game. It's going to be I've won there before.
Yeah, it will be baked out. It's hot over there right now.
Did you see, I saw some pictures of it today. Brown. It is brown.
Giddy up.
You know, burnt yellow, call it that. I mean, it is like, it's perfect. It is perfect links right now. I think it was Rory was kind of talking about it, saying conditions wise, he's like, it is literally perfect there. So, I mean, he's obviously trending himself with his game, and he'll be looking forward to getting back there. I think that's where the major run starts for him again. I think at Hoylake. I think Rory wins at Hoylake and wins the Masters next year.
Bold.
Putting it out there, folks. There was a little small other bit of news going on in the world of golf earlier in the week, Michael. PGA Tour.
Yeah.
Live.
Yeah, I mean,
DP World Tour being taken over by PIF.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for the players that didn't take the money. I mean, you can't predict that. But, you know, a guy like Rory to walk away from an offer, and I know he doesn't like where the money's coming from.
Number.
But I mean, if it was me, I could care less where the money's coming from in a very polite way. I mean, there's that money's everywhere. Yeah. So it doesn't matter.
It is everywhere. I mean, I think if you have taken the moral stance at some point that it's blood money.
Yeah.
And you now, you go from being, like, it was one thing for you to say, like, I don't care. It's not that you don't, like, everyone cares about these atrocities when they happen in the world, but it's just like, if you turn your attention to that's, you know, Saudi money's blood money, do you know where Saudi money goes? Do you know where it flows around the world? Do you know the other things that are influenced by Saudi money? That's what I always say. It's like, I hate everything that, you know, has happened with regards to terrorism or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
Horrendous. But unless you're willing to dig deeper than the surface layer, understand what that means, then I don't do that. And I haven't done that. And I'm not going to do that. I don't have enough time to do that, to dig that deep.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it from a surface level as a golfer and as a golf industry person. Do I like the way this has went down? No.
No.
Not one bit. My problem with LIV was not the Saudi money. I just hate the product.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate 54 holes. Can you imagine? I was thinking about it yesterday. The crescendo that was that finish to the Canadian Open. And you couldn't get that because you've got somebody finishing on the eighth hole, someone finishing on the ninth hole, the leaders.
That's a good point. It's not golf.
And yesterday, golf was all about the rise of energy towards one place, which was, you know, the 18th hole and then the playoff where it just burst out in emotion.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. You don't know if you're going to get that with LIV.
No. And you know, I think I watched the like CNBC interview with Monahan and this PIF guy. I just think Monahan's two-faced for what he did.
Totally.
I think the guy should have resigned Tuesday afternoon after his players meeting. Because for the amount of crap that he said over the last year, basically the same stuff Rory was saying. I hate this. I hate that. I don't believe in that. To now he's having lunch in London with these boys.
I know.
You know, high tea with the king, going, "Oh, this is great." Yeah. Like, come on, that's not right.
I just think, having done what I haven't made the decision without any correspondence with the players committee, sort of.
Exactly. Why have a committee if you don't ask them? And the other thing too is when I've read the tweet that, you know, whether it's true or not, that Tiger didn't even know.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, his agent Mark Steinberg didn't know.
If
those two don't know,
yep,
then this is like,
yep,
you know, White House secrets basically.
Well, like, you hear Rory, you know, Jimmy Dunn called him the night before.
Yeah.
You know, on the Monday night to tell him, listen, you know, like, and Monahan's not even had the balls to pick up the phone himself.
Yeah.
And you know, to the guy who's really been the face of the anti-LIV campaign and, you know, we're trying to strengthen the PGA Tour. We believe in the history and the lineage of the game. And, you know, McIlroy backed Jay Monahan.
Big time.
Jay Monahan did not back Rory McIlroy. Any of the players. So, you know, and when we kind of talk about McIlroy, oh, I feel bad for Rory, didn't take the money. It's not really about money for Rory.
No.
Right? But when you talk about hundreds of millions,
it's
always about money.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about the other day, Tiger, Hideki, and Rory, basically it's $1.5 billion. Yeah.
John Rahm and Will Zalatoris was it 2.5 or something?
Yeah,
like
between those guys.
Yeah.
So you're in the territory towards $2 billion of signing fees. And those guys went, no, PGA Tour is where you know, where my future lies. I just think it's completely wrong the way they dealt with it.
Yeah, I will say last year I'm sitting at the Canadian Open, I'm sitting in the clubhouse, player dining, And there's a few players that, you know, big, decent names.
Yeah.
And Monahan is walking up to these guys, patting them on the back. Hey, thanks. You know, I'm not, I can't hear the conversation, but yeah. he's definitely saying thanks for your support. For sure, that's what he's saying. Because those guys were there. They weren't live guys, right? And to now, for to see what he did last Tuesday is just like, I don't know how the guy sleeps at night, but it's I just I don't think it's right. And that Jimmy Dunn, like, unfortunately, I know he had like threats to his family and stuff like that, which isn't clean. And obviously you don't want it to go that far, but Monahan, I just think it's dirty what he's done.
If you look at the landscape and obviously more details have came out now, and if, you know, from a business perspective, you've got Eddie Hurley, you've got Jimmy Dunn and Monahan who are kind of like sitting together trying to make, you know, like, I look at it now and go, I'm not saying you made the wrong decision. I don't know if it's the wrong decision because we don't know all the details yet. I just hate the way they went about it. I think in time there'll be some good things about it. And I agree, I think Rory had some perspective, which was amazing to me. He had that perspective going, yeah, I think this will be good for the game of golf in the long run. How he summed it up, how he's summed up the positivity within him, you know, where he's obviously felt like he's been kicked in the stones by King Kong.
Totally.
You know,
totally.
I mean, that's a tough, tough one to swallow. You know, again, Tiger, Tiger's barely, he probably won't make double digits in terms of the amount of PGA Tour events he'll ever play in his lifetime again. So it's not about him, but I think it's about the future of the game for Scheffler and Rory and Rahm. And the other players coming through, the young pups coming through that are, you know, going to be the next faces of the game.
Yeah.
You know, look after those guys. I just can't believe you wouldn't take them, you know, get them all together, Zoom call, something, Teams, you know,
group text,
whatever. Guys, you know, emergency call, need to give you a heads up. This is what and this is why. And we really think we're preserving, you know, the kind of best interest of the game, best interest of you guys, you know, blah, blah, blah.
And then
you just can't turn around and say all that BS about, you know, live is this, you know, Saudi money's that, and then go, oh, in fact, we actually are good with it.
Yeah, I mean, prep them, and then that way Rory could have still looked like the front runner to say, well, you know, the news broke and other players didn't know, but, you know, it's actually, this is what we're working towards.
I know.
If it was a this rather than they, it would have made the week a lot easier. But we were there Tuesday mid-morning, afternoon, and it was quiet, and it was the topic. It was the main topic. You were trying to help a player. We were doing some putting stuff, and everyone was just like, what do you think? What do you think? It was like, well, no one could concentrate.
Yeah. No, it was interesting, but thankfully, again, which is always the most important thing, golf had its final say on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing, right? The golf had its say, and, you know, we had a great champion. It was a great week. People in time are not going to remember last week for that was the news that came out that week. That moment on 18th green in the fourth playoff hole from 72 feet will be immortalized in Canadian golf history. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And that's the frustrating thing for me when it comes to this LIV conversation is you love the history of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I love the history of the game. I hate the thought of them kind of completely changing the history of our sport.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might not like our sport. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of other ways to, you know, you like F1, right? There's the race is the race. Leave the race alone. That for me is the 4-round event. Leave the race alone.
Totally.
But you can have the sprint challenges. Mm-hmm. You can have different things like that. Add fun things to it or different things to it. I'm all about that. You know, in a certain way, like not a lot of people know about cricket, but the Indian Premier League cricket, they have players from all different walks of life and nationalities coming together to create these super teams. I love the idea of that at certain times, but leave the lineage of the game alone. The four majors, the Ryder Cup, the President's Cup, you know, all these types of things. Leave that stuff well alone because that's what our sport, the history of our sport has been all about. That's what Hogan stood for and Snead stood for and Palmer. You know, the things that these guys done, you know, to commercially put the golf in the position it's in, and now for people to make decisions based on what is best to line their pockets, I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate it. And as I say it, I hate it more. Yeah. It actually burns me to kind of think about it that way. So
like I said, when they let there's guys on LIV that I like watching play golf. Yeah. DJ Poulter.
Sure.
I'm a fan of those two guys.
Koepka.
If they come back to play on tour, or whatever this tour becomes, great. Because I do like, I miss watching Poulter hit golf balls. I know he didn't win it a lot, but still nice to watch.
Yeah, you want
to
see Poulter compete.
Yeah.
You want to see him in the mix.
Ryder Cup. Like I really, like we've talked about this, the Ryder Cup.
It's a mess.
It's a mess. You know, and you know, I like when Europe wins. I mean, there's a lot of US players that I like, but I you know, a Ryder Cup in Europe, it's a dream to go to one.
Yeah.
I feel like I've kind of missed my chance to go see a really good Ryder Cup.
A really good one, because who knows what it's going
to
look like.
And no offense to the new players, but I just think that Europe might get dummied this year, regardless that it's in Europe and the fans will be crazy and stuff.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a shame. It's different, but hopefully it, hopefully this money or whatever this becomes is actually better. And we're looking a year's time and go, well, actually it's pretty good.
Yeah. 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 It'll be interesting to see. Obviously the chips are going to fall a certain way. And, I just hope the game of golf is intact, you know, when the dust settles on this thing.
Yeah.
I just hope the game of golf is intact. A little smattering of new equipment in the in the marketplace, Michael.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
No, Titleist.
Titleist, obviously, I think since the last time we got together on the podcast, they kind of revealed the pictures of the T-Series irons.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
We're going to go to California this week and hit them.
Yeah. It's such a long way to go.
I know. What an inconvenience.
No, yeah, I'm excited. I mean, listen, T100, T200 has been probably a number one selling iron for us in all studios for the last 6 years or however long T-Series has been out. So we know it's going to be good, but I don't know anything else other than that. I would love to know what the 150 stands for.
Yeah.
You know, I play T200 four iron as like a driving iron and, you know, they were asking us, what do you guys play before we go down? Is, you know, I love that that iron, but then you see guys on tour trying new stuff and I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I need to start tinkering again.
We don't know anything. There's been no technical, you know, sheets handed out. No. There's just been literally pictures and speculation.
Yeah.
For me, I think I look at like 150 as a bridge club.
Mm.
I don't think 100S was a bridge club because 100S was a 100 with stronger lofts. To me, 150 speaks a bridge between 100 and 200, obviously, right? So it sits right in between. That I'm excited about.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of people who loved 100 or loved 200. 100S was still too much 100 for them, T100 to be good for them.
Yeah.
And T200 was still too game improvement.
Yeah.
A little bit on that, call it that clicky side of things.
You hit a little high in the face and it just dead.
And I think in there sat Mizuno 223.
Mm-hmm.
ZX7, those types of irons sat where this 150 I think is going to sit, and now I think the 150 is going to be a really high volume product for us, something I think that will carry a really wide handicap range. From I think we'll see it in pros bags, I think we will see it in, you know, 10-12 handicappers bags, and then obviously all the way up 200 and 350.
Yeah, it'd be exciting to see if there's some blades and CBs getting a refresh.
Yeah, haven't announced that
or
yet.
Or concept. Never know.
I know.
A little refreshing concept.
Yeah, they've not told us anything other than these new T series, and obviously there'll be an extension because we know there was last time in the T100 series of the wedges being sort of integrated as a line extension of Volkies and more wedge kind of technology in there. I think that's going to be cool to see, because that was I think anytime you see the first iteration of a technology like that, I want to see what year two looks like or model two looks like in that. I think that'll be fun to see. What else is coming? What else is coming down the pipeline?
I mean, hopefully some new Callaway irons.
A refresh on the Apex, it looks like, later this year.
Yeah.
Some
tailor-made wedges. They don't have wedges currently.
Yep. MG3's been out for a little bit now.
Yeah.
Ping, I know we've talked about G430 LST.
We need
to get that and hit it.
Forgot about that.
I know. Well, that's what happens when you kind of like launch a 3-wood separate from the rest of the wood line. It kind of gets lost.
Risky, yeah.
It's lost. So we'll see. And a few other things.
Some new shafts coming out.
Yeah.
I've heard rumblings of some stuff, and you've been testing 10C1K, blue.
Yeah.
A couple just came in for me that I'm sure I'll try.
What did you get?
This week.
A couple things. Tell me.
1K blues.
Okay.
50S, 50X.
Yeah.
and the 60S is someone's using it at the club right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that 1K blue was nice. I did like it. It get the shoe for me pretty quick. Ended up changing my driver shaft.
Shocker.
What do you think? Guess. What do you think I'm playing?
Outside the Sinister? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're playing, or is it something different? Mitsubishi? Hey. Nope. I have no clue.
I'm playing back to Ventus TR blue. 6X.
Because Ventus Red TR was the best. In a TSR3 driver, best I've ever seen him drive the ball, folks.
One good round.
Best I've ever seen him drive the ball. And he didn't make the cut.
Yeah, no.
TR blue, 6X.
TR blue, 6X, 45 inches. I'm away from
it's funny how that's considered short now.
No. I just...
It feel a 45-inch driver feels so much better. Like, I had one at 46, and it felt weird.
Yeah.
And now I'm playing 45 again. I don't feel like I've sacrificed any distance, and it feels a million times better.
It really does. I just think the feeling of being able to get a little bit more on top of it.
100%.
I hate the feeling of being stuck in the back foot and flipping at
it. Stuck in the back foot? My back foot's got cement in it.
It really does.
Jeez, oh.
It really does. Yep. So that's a wee change in the driver.
What head?
A little update. I have tried everything again. Since the last time we've done the pod or even done any content, I've hit TSR3 again. At the weekend, I brought out G430 again.
I was going to say, I did not see the security cameras go off at 6 a.m. on Sunday, so this must have been done outside.
It was outside. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. No, Stealth 2 Plus, I really, really like that driver.
Yeah, yeah.
I really do. It feels so good.
It's a nice looking driver.
It is a good looking driver.
Under some nice head covers.
They are gorgeous.
So nice.
I know. So they nice. Really are. To be revealed. We'll reveal the new head covers. Any other changes to your bag?
My fresh grooved wedges are shipping Thursday.
From Artisan?
Yeah. Yeah, little redo. That's it. That's it.
My only one other change is two iron.
Oh my God.
I put two iron. As an option.
Srixon.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, really nice. Really nice. I like it a lot.
That's a good driving
iron. It is a good driving iron. Yep, ZX Utility. Half inch short we built it, didn't we? Half inch, I think it was half inch short. Yeah. 39 and a half. Something like that.
Something like that. Lots of hot melt in it.
Lots of hot melt in it to try and get the swing weight up. Ventus blue, cured. It feels so good.
Yeah, yeah.
I had it a few times.
Sounds good too, that driving iron. Doesn't sound high pitched or anything like that. Yeah,
no, I had it a few times in the weekend. Was awfully, awfully good. I got to work on my driver.
My God.
Driving, just... driving.
Okay. Well, we're playing this week.
We are, yeah. We'll be playing Crosby Club.
So good. Just wait.
Where is it?
Just bougie. It's nice.
Bougie, Mike.
Yeah, so I can't wait.
You're
it's
just
so good.
You're a high society. Just
wait till you see it. You'll be like, yeah, this is for me. It's good.
As long as there'll be Bing Crosby in the background playing while I'm eating lunch, I'll be quite happy.
Silver Bell. Oh, that's not Big Crosby. That's Dean Martin.
You just love to sing it.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, guys. Lots to unpack this week. Holy moly. There really was. Canadian
Open.
It was a great week. We're in California and we'll be back. We will be back next week. We're going to try and bank a few episodes because I've got some travel coming up to the UK in the next couple of weeks. So I think when we're back here next week, we'll try and bank a few.
Maybe get a guest.
Let's not promise because...
Nick Taylor?
We're trying. You promised me last night.
I know. It'll happen. It'll happen. Before the year's done, it will happen. He'll be on the podcast.
I mean, he's obviously...
always busy. Well, so am I.
The tricky part is now he's going to be playing US Open this week. He'll probably head over and play somewhere in the UK prior to the Open Championship.
Bet he does Scottish Open.
Probably does Scottish Open, and then he's going to play Open. So,
okay, November.
Yeah, we'll try and get him for the off-season.
In-studio podcast where he brings me a trophy.
That would be cool. You tell the people you can make that happen.
It'll happen. You heard it here first.
Well, is he a red wine drinker? Maybe you can persuade him with some of your good
I don't drink.
I thought I was going to say, I don't share it. That's what you're going to say.
I do.
I drink, but I don't share it.
No, I share.
All right. Some guests to be had. We do have David Woods coming on in the next couple of weeks, inventor of the ProSender. So that's my favourite training aid right now. I love it.
You love a training aid.
Nothing gets my golf swing into the same positions as that ProSender. I just add it on at the weekend. I'm like, oh, can I just play golf with this thing on? It's so good.
Aye, aye, aye. We should be doing the podcast David Woods' place, because the connection could be funny sometimes.
Yeah, you like the in-person?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Get the good vibes.
We'll get you into Palm Springs. And right. What did you say about Palm Springs the other day?
I've never been, so I can't call it.
Oh, what did you say? No, don't try and take the moral high ground now, Michael. What did you say the other
day? It's a bit old, isn't it?
Aye, you said something a wee bit more derogatory than that.
Well, I don't know, never been. Not yet.
Not yet, but you will be. We will be. We've got two reasons to go now. See David Woods.
Yeah.
See your uncle.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, guys, stay tuned. We'll be back next week. Have a great week and enjoy the US Open.